Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast, one-stop shop for everyone feeling stuck in their career and who are looking to identify, change, and succeed at their new fulfilling work. I'm your host, Dilma Seita. Let's go. Hi, everyone. How have you been? I really hope you're doing fantastic. I hope that you're discovering your meaning and have established a solid, loving relationship with your purpose. And if you're not, I sincerely hope you're on your way there because it's a beautiful, calm, and sufficient place to be. Today's episode is a little different. I'm sharing a recording with you where I was interviewed by the beautiful Alexandra, who's a host of another podcast called Career Switch Podcast, where she's interviewing experts and basically picking their brain about career change. Alexandra is an editor who's worked for a number of US magazines such as Fortune, Latina, Family Circle, and she actually ended up going through her own elaborate career change journey. And as part of her new path, what she does now is she interviews, like I said, experts and other career changers for her Career Switch podcast, where they share the good, the bad, and the truth about how they made the career switch. She had approached me as she wanted to learn more about a holistic approach to transitioning in careers, which actually made me think that while in my life, in my mind, in my day-to-day, thinking about a holistic approach and taking a holistic approach is a very obvious golden thread that basically is weaved in everything that I do, but I had not necessarily been stressing it or explaining it in detail as to why it's so important to me as a coach and why I really want to make sure that I view each and every person who comes into my space, in my orbit, through this holistic lens, and why it's important for me to stay in integrity with this approach. So the interview that you're going to hear now is essentially a very high level explanation as to how I arrived to this approach. And also I share an overview of how I walk people through the process of discovering their careers and lives of alignment. I had dissected my approach in previous episodes, but this one offers a bird's eye view as to what it is that I do. I really hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, here's the interview.
So Vilma, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I'm excited to talk about this holistic approach to making a career change. It really caught my eye when I saw it and I was going through, you know, other career change podcasts on Spotify just to see what else is out there. So tell us, what does it mean to take a holistic approach to making a career change?
That's a great question, because honestly, when you and I were speaking before recording, I actually realized that I don't get asked this question enough. And so in general, when we say that something is holistic, we usually think of an approach that sort of views each person as an ecosystem. And this implies that, you know, the treatment will take into account all kinds of mental, emotional, social factors versus just treating, say, the symptoms of a localized disease. So this essentially means that, you know, what we're doing with a holistic approach, we are creating this all-encompassing, comprehensive treatment plans that have very high success rate, especially in medicine. And over the years, I've sort of observed this approach, and what I did, I've taken that same logic and sentiment, and I've applied it to my coaching practice as well. What it looks like is I look at the whole system of any individual that comes to me holistically, which firstly means that I need to sort of help them determine the root cause of why the person is in a situation that they're in, why they're feeling that they need to change, why they're feeling unfulfilled and stuck. And, you know, help them with the self-analysis, what I usually refer to as self-audit, which means that we're looking at the multitude of unique aspects that they are before we crystallize that next career move And before we get clear of, you know, what that next career of alignment should be. And, you know, when I was thinking about this and preparing for recording with you, unfortunately, I don't believe that a holistic career change approach is yet very common. Just like you said, when you did a little bit of your research, as let's be honest, like any system that we look at, you know, not exclusively, but in general, the systems in medicine, in healthcare, in mental care, mental well-being is usually built to just alleviate the symptoms. And like I said, it's applicable to really any industry and sector, and especially it's applicable in career change coaching. And, you know, when I hear over and over again advice like you need to analyze your skills and see how these skills could apply to a different industry, or try, you know, you need to try to apply to similar roles, I always say, I don't think that's the best approach, because it's not going to solve your issue sustainably. And that is essentially just putting a band-aid on an issue. So looking at the skills and what, you know, you've been good on in the past alone is, you know, usually the example I like to give is like driving forward while only looking at your rearview mirror. How far do you think you can go like that before crashing? So, you know, you may feel like you're moving or you're doing things or you're going places, but you may just end up, you know, burning your fuel really quickly. And then you'll just find yourself that you're even more lost than when you started the journey. And then we burn out, we get disappointed, and we think that, you know, all of this trip was just a waste of time. But really, this is just a lack of preparation. And I think that is my main message. So I think we cannot continue sort of turning the blind eye to the fact that, you know, each and every one of us are, the way I see it, at least, are these beautiful, unique containers of all of our character traits and experiences and values and strengths and interests. And we really need to look at all of that when we're looking for a new career that would tick the boxes and that would feel like essentially like getting paid for being yourself. And I always say that that is my ultimate goal and my wish for everyone who is currently stuck and who feels very confused as to what that next career step should look like. By the way, what I also want to say that I really want to send so much compassion for those who currently feel stuck, because I really know what it feels like to live in a dark and very lonely and sometimes confusing state. And I know it because I've lived it, and I know what it feels like to feel lost and really unfulfilled in your career and then your life in general. And actually, this holistic approach that I'm talking about was basically the fruit and the result of my own seeking and my own quest when I was looking for meaning. I think what I'm going to do is maybe just share a little bit of the background, because sometimes I feel like, you know, we share all these methods and strategies, but really what I find personally sometimes is the most healing and inspiring is to hear a story, because that truly can liberate and inspire us. Just really briefly, my background is in business and finance. And for some time, I worked in financial institutions and I did management consulting, and I even worked for the government. And, you know, my career in general, I look through, you know, that span of the decade, really saw a lot of movement. And with each career change I was really sort of hoping that it would be it for me. And I was just so desperately seeking to find something that would stick, or the way I used to call it is like, I just need to find something that feels like home for me, that feels mine. And the truth is that when I really look back, you know, now, and the way the story, my story evolved, is that the more I changed and the more I sought for that meaningful career, the more disheartened I was getting, because I felt like I was just lacking direction. And eventually it really took a toll on my self-esteem. And I started to think that somehow I was just inherently broken. And I know I hear that a lot, actually, when I speak to my clients, when they come to work with me, that they just feel like something must be, you know, not working, and something must be wrong with them. Because, you know, even back then I was looking around and I saw people, you know, doing their jobs that they moderately enjoyed and they were okay with it. And I was living in this sort of narrative that a job is just a job. And for me, it just felt like so out of alignment to be adopting this sort of perspective. And I really wanted to be passionate about what I do. I wanted to feel like what I did was purposeful. And I wanted to, you know, once I read this phrase in a book, which says that we come here on this planet to live a life on purpose and with a purpose. And that really, that phrase really stuck with me. And I was like, I need to find what that is for me. And even though, you know, I was really eager, I really just didn't know how to find my answers. So what I did, because I'm very type A, very organized, overachiever. So what I did, I just rolled up my sleeves and basically I said, listen, I'm just going to do whatever it takes to me to basically get to the bottom of it and find what the best career option for me could be, right? What it would look like. So basically, I just went on this quest and it really took me a very long time. And I went on a lot of windy roads. And I just used a lot of different resources. I worked with career consultants. I did psychometric tests, anything that's available under the sun. I did all the tests. I went to astrologists. I went to psychics. I read the books. Basically, I did it all. You name it. I probably touched it. And here's the issue that I had, though, at the end of it. And I feel like, again, that's something that a lot of your listeners may be relating to, is that as I, you know, started to explore like all these options and try to sort of consolidate all the information that I was getting, it really felt like a lot of it was contradicting. And I just could not make sense of it all. And it really made me feel so desperate and even more scattered than when I started. And I remember many times where I just sit in this sort of desperation thinking, I wish there was like one source, or I wish there was one person I could go to and they would help me to make sense of all of these different complex parts and different experiences that I had. And I wish someone could just see all of me, because I felt like whenever I was going to these different experts or went to these different sources, they were just looking at me through one narrow, limited lens, say through just my job experience or just my interests. But really deep inside, I just wanted to be seen, accepted, and validated. And I wanted someone to help me sort of unite all of my unique gifts and my character traits and my passions and my values and my experiences, and then help me design a career that would be in alignment with all of that spectrum, a career that would be an extension of who I already am. And that really was the beginning of me starting to define the main principles of this holistic career change approach, which then became a program in my practice. So basically what I did, I just started creating a program that I wish I had myself when I was going through this change and what I felt was missing in the market at the time. And the main guiding principle of this approach is basically, like I said, just acknowledging first and foremost, which I feel like we really all need, is that the way we are right here and right now is no accident. We may think that we've had like random, weird, even unrelated experiences or educational background, but all of it was really just small pieces leading us to this bigger picture and the bigger purpose. So my rule of thumb now is to essentially welcome each and every individual in all of their uniqueness and complexity and their beauty, and then put it all together and then sort of help them to build an ideal career based on that foundation. And I feel like when we do that, that's when the change can be sustainable. So what I feel like sometimes this whole approach that I'm trying to describe here is really sometimes the opposite of what is often conventionally practiced in the traditional you know, position and talent matchmaking process, where candidates are sometimes expected to even adjust or somehow twist or even exaggerate their experience in order to fit the position. I think like this is the opposite. And I really feel like that sort of old school matchmaking process is the old paradigm. And the new paradigm is working out who you are, what you are about, and then designing a career path to match and to essentially celebrate all that you already are.
All right. So like you said earlier, focusing only on our skills is just a Band-Aid. It's like medicine. It just alleviates the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So what else can we look at and that would help someone take a holistic approach to making their career switch?
Yeah. So basically, I have like this whole process that is outlined. And while I don't believe that there is sort of one solution that would fit all, I really think there could be sort of a rough outline or a few steps that people could follow in order to arrive to their answers. So the example I like to give is when you're not feeling well, you usually go to the doctor. And what does the doctor do first? They will examine you. So, you know, they will look at your body for any visual symptoms. They ask you questions, they inspect, and they do that so they would have enough data to recommend you the best treatment, right? So that's pretty self-explanatory. And I really think that the same approach broadly could be taken when we're embarking on a career change process. So when we hear stories of, you know, failed career changes, I really feel like the problem is that people start taking the steps and they really rush into transitioning without having gone through the proper examination. And they don't have enough data. They just, you know, they just sort of improvise and go, oh, let me try this for a bit. Fingers crossed this would work. In the same way, I actually did that for the longest time because I really felt like, oh, if I change the company, if I change the sector, I'll go from private to public, maybe that will stick. So we really take all these opportunistic moves without having done the research. Or some people do, which pains me when I hear that, where they say, oh, I'll just talk to recruiters. But the recruiters really rarely get excited if you tell them you're thinking of a career change, because that makes you less marketable, that makes you harder to sell and harder to earn their commission on. Therefore, if you go to a recruiter and you let them know, and if you don't have an established connection, obviously, again, I'm sort of, you know, going very general here. Obviously, there are amazing people out there, but in general, they will not be very supportive of you, right? So what my main message is that stabbing in the dark like that is inefficient. So what I suggest doing is really starting with some in-depth prep work, which is your self-audit, like I mentioned before. So this self-audit piece really consists of three puzzle pieces. And what I like to mention here, or the disclaimer that I like to share, is that when we do this analytical work, when we do this self-audit, at this stage in particular, we really need to leave behind all of our prejudice, all of our experience and education, and really need to look at ourselves again with essentially like a fresh set of eyes. So first, we'll look at your unique strengths. And a lot of people think that strengths equals to their skills. And I hear that a lot. And while that could be true, but the important sort of point that I like to make here is that skills is experience you've gained, but it doesn't mean that it's your strength. So my definition of the strength is that which strengthens you as you use it, that which gives you energy. And a lot of the skills we have, while we may be extremely good at them, like we might have spent years training ourselves doing them, but they may not necessarily are our strengths. So it really is important to identify what gives you energy and what comes super natural for you. You know, whether it could be communication skills, research skills, you need to look at what people compliment you on. So there are like a series of questions and exercises that are specifically geared towards identifying what your unique strengths are. So that's sort of the first puzzle piece. Then as a second puzzle piece, we'll look at the core values. That is what you stand for. What do you believe in? And what I've noticed from my own experience is that values are often overlooked when people do this work. And I've seen it through and through that if your values don't match the values of the company that you work for, or there is, say, a value clash between you and your boss, even if you get to use your unique strengths and you may actually like the job, you will not be able to stay with this company for too long, because a job that does not support your values will not be sustainable. And at some point you will just end up leaving because it's going to be very taxing for your system to stay in such an environment, which is not supportive. And there's a clash in the value system. And the final puzzle piece is your passions and interests. Now, again, you will see, you know, if you just do a simple Google search, how to change careers or how to find your purpose, you will see a lot of, I would say, a little irresponsible career change advice out there, which says that all you need to do is just find your passion and you'll be able to find your ideal career or business. However, again, if your interests and your passions are not in alignment with your values and they're not in alignment with your strengths, you won't be able to turn it into a long-term career. You may turn it into a hobby, or maybe it will be just something that you will do for a year or two. But if the other two puzzle pieces are not working, are not supported, are not giving space and energy, it will be very hard to sustain it. What we do in this first step, we analyze all of these three, then we put them together, and then we'll have a very good idea of which direction we need to go to next. And that essentially becomes the foundation for the next phase of your career transition. Because what it does is essentially gives you a list, you know, or a set of criteria for you to compare against potential career options.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have that sort of list of criteria, then we just essentially look at potential career paths and we ask ourselves which out of these paths could meet all three or could tick as many boxes out of these set of criteria. And then you will not be stabbing in the dark anymore, but you'll be making very educated decisions. And this whole three puzzle piece and analytical work that we do, this is the first stage of career transition, at least one of the stages that I've identified, which I call identify. So this is basically doing the prep work and really getting organized, getting clear, becoming your own self-expert and your own best friend, and really understanding what you are about. Because what happens as we grow up, as we go through this indoctrination system, we are essentially programmed to basically meet certain criteria, become someone, meet expectations. There's just a lot of social pressure to be someone. And that's how we are very prone to sometimes lose what really our core values are, or really not even know what our strengths are, because we spent all of our lives trying to become, I don't know, the best accountant, but that is not even part of our unique strengths. You know, the work that we do, by the way, that's also another point that I like to make, it's not going to surprise you. The results that you're going to have is probably going to be something that you felt, but you know, really putting it on paper, answering questions, doing this work, sitting with each question is going to give you a lot of aha moments and validation to show you that actually that gut feeling that I always had, I'm not crazy. There is something to this. So that would be sort of the first stage of transitioning. And then the second stage, once we have a few career options that we have identified that meet all of, you know, the criteria that ticks the boxes, then we go into the second stage, which I call the test drive stage, where basically we test out those options. There's basically one thing to think that a position looks good on, looks like a good fit on paper. And that happened to me when I really wanted to study finance and really thought that I'm going to be this, you know, high-flying investment banker. And on the first day at work, I was like, uh-oh, I just spent so many years and so much money studying finance. This feels like not my place, right? So on paper and all of these years, I thought, like, yes, I found my calling. But really what we need to do and to make sure, especially when we are embarking on a career change, say when we're a little bit older or if we have family and if we have dependents, we really need to make sure that we also test it out. And we experience and we put ourselves in the trenches, so to speak, so we get to taste what it's like to be in that position. So testing, essentially, like I said before, just like with a doctor's appointment, what it allows us to do is to collect the data and the feedback that we can then take all in and analyze and select the most in alignment option. Again, I had like a client who was convinced that she wanted to have her own bakery. And what she did is basically what we suggested, the play project that we decided to take on is for her to spend the weekends baking cupcakes and then going to like a local market and having a stand or catering to her friends' parties. And what she learned eventually is that she really fought that because she loved baking in her free time and she really fought like she loved interacting with people. And after she tried it for a month, what she realized is she actually, the aspect that she loved the most was not baking, but actually watching people enjoy her food and interacting with people. So what she learned that if her job would be sort of somewhere at the back of the bakery, getting up really early in the morning, doing all the work, it would not be something that she would enjoy because she really needed a lot of interaction. So that basically when she came back with that data, with that feedback, we could then sort of course correct a little bit. And then when we do this test driving, when we select one option, only then we really sit down and we start to draft a career transition plan, which is outlining the steps, the timeline, the phases, et cetera, of what it would take to transition successfully. And at this stage, I usually, you know, when we do this work or when I sort of share the outline of the work that we're going to do with my potential clients, I often hear people say, oh, but what about my education? Or what about my skill set? Because it's in a different industry and so on. And this is, by the way, particularly true for those who are thinking of a double switch, which is changing the role and changing the industry. And my tip here, and I feel like I can't stress this enough, is not to worry about your skills, because majority of your skills are perfectly transferable and can be applied across a gazillion of different industries and functions. Another point, which again is part of, you know, my approach to career change, is that actually very rarely I will advocate for this instant switch where essentially you hand over your resignation on Friday and then you start your job or your business on Monday. Because there are some people who want to go cold turkey or they like to be dramatic. Again, of course, there is no one-fits-all approach, but I'm not I'm a big fan of a gradual switch. And that means that I would suggest to stay in a career that you're currently in. You need to collect your paycheck, you know, not put any financial strain on yourself, and simultaneously work on building that new career or building your business.
So do you recommend that people test out these options while they're still at their current job?
Absolutely. 100%. If it's possible, do it over the weekends. Like for instance, when I was switching, I had a full-time job. So what I did, I studied, you know, for my coaching certification in the evenings, over the weekends. I took some days off when I had any tests, and I would work with my clients in the evenings or very early in the mornings before my work day or over the weekends, right? Because I needed to gain that experience and so on and so forth. So I would say that there are always ways how to manage our time. But, you know, I know that there could be a lot of resistance when I say that, because I know people are very busy. We have a lot of responsibilities. Obviously now with COVID, maybe the pace has changed a little bit, but in general, right, we are busy. So one of the first things that I do with my clients is usually we review their current life circumstances and we look at where they spend their time. We look at where there are energy drainers in their life, in the work, and so on and so forth. So we remove all of that to make space for that testing and analytical work, because they will need that. And, you know, I sincerely believe that we can make any switch, like literally any switch, as long as we have the right approach and as long as we have determination. And while that can sound like really romantic, I'm very realistic here as well, because as a career changer, we have to be prepared to work very hard, because not only will we need to make time for transition, but when we transition in the new industry, we'll also need to prove ourselves, because we'll be competing against people who have more experience and more expertise in the field. And that is the reality of things. And I'm sure this has been mentioned on your podcast before, is on top of everything, the conventional job search process and interviewing process likely won't work for career changers. So, you know, as a part of your question, should we do it while we're still, you know, hold our employment? Yes. And we will also need to find time to be creative and network a lot and use out of the box strategies and maybe intern and volunteer and, you know, hustle to get into the new industry. Right. So, yeah, my answer is 100% yes.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to the side hustle. I feel like I'm doing that now with this podcast.
Yeah, and doing an amazing job.
Thanks.
So like I said, I'm a big fan of a gradual switch. I really think that we should be, this is, you know, while the first phase of identify is, I would say, very deliberate, it's very peaceful. It requires introspection. It requires intention. The second phase is, you know, more adventurous, where we go out and always suggest people to look at this as, you know, a play, right? As something like, as adults, we forget how to play. So being able to test out and experience different industries, talk to people from these who are experts in the field, I think like that should be fun. And the final stage, which is the actual transition stage, this is where, like I mentioned, we build the in-depth transition plan. And this is where we get very strategic, very detailed. We look at our savings. We look at our, you know, financial plans. We talk about how to negotiate the best package for resignation when the time has come. So this is where we're very, very strategic and, again, intentional, right? This is where we do our business. And I feel like a lot of people who don't spend time doing the first two stages, identify and then test drive or, you know, test out the options, usually they rush to the last stage. And sometimes they don't even spend time on creating the transition plan. And they just sort of, okay, let me try this, like I said. But really each stage I found has a very particular purpose. And when you actually follow them, I really feel like you can get amazing results. You know, on behalf of my clients who've completed the switch and myself, it really is all worth it because, you know, a life you lead when you get up every day and get to do the work that you love and then even get paid for doing it, I feel like it's straight up magic. I'm not even, you know, I really think it's magical. And for the longest time, I didn't think that could be anyone's reality, but it really could be if we do the work.
I do want to briefly cover that you work with women only. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I work with women only because just basically through my experience, what I learned is that my approach, my method, my voice just provides the best results for females. So then I just decided not to complicate the process and just work with women only. I have a lot of clients who are actually from the corporate world because I feel like they can identify with my energy, with my approach. So yeah, I really invite you to check it out. The first consult is free of charge. So even if you decide not to work with me, you can have your 60 minutes and we can brainstorm together. And I'm sure you can get a lot of valuable information and next steps just from that one call.
Great. All right, Velma, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
One more point that I like to add is that I didn't mention it on here, but I feel like one of the probably most important parts of the work that I do and I advocate for, again, is also making sure what we spend time to zoom in on our limiting beliefs. Because again, this is my experience speaking. We can do all of the fancy strategic career moves and we can have the best resume, but if our limiting beliefs are not reviewed and changed, we will find ourselves with very similar outcomes each time. So it will be different places, different faces, but the results will be the same. So while simultaneously, while we work on all of those, you know, move through the career change stages, we also need to work on reprogramming and rewiring those neural pathways. And that work is absolutely crucial. That's like the secret ingredient that we didn't really have a lot of time to cover here, but I really wanted to mention it.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Bye. Thank you for joining me today. If you're finding this content valuable, I would really appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave a review. And if you'd like to take this work further, schedule your first call so we could mastermind together on how to get your career and life back on track.